Say that one more time.
I don't want to be talking crazy on this shit, man. So, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The hose bars.
I've gone into dark conspiracies on this show. So whatever you got for me, you know, from black people in Brooklyn, that's what I want to hear about. Okay, Parker?
Look. All right. I'm over here Harlem and shit.
All right. You're in Harlem. All right. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollaback. With me, Parker Barnes. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Cooling.
So, you know, you're a black person. You're in Harlem right now. You're in New York City. Everything is shut down. Everything is shut down right now with the coronavirus. What's the word on the street? What happened? Where'd this come from? A lab? A laboratory in Wuhan?
I don't even know, man. But I'm out here, though, man. So, you know, I'm out here, man.
Have you seen anything that gives you high confidence that it originated in that Wuhan lab?
Martha, there's enormous evidence that that's where this began. We've said from the beginning that this was a virus that originated in Wuhan, China. We took a lot of grief for that from the outset, but I think the whole world can see now. Remember, China has a history of infecting the world, and they have a history of running substandard laboratories. These are not the first times that we've had a world exposed to viruses as a result of failures in a Chinese lab. And so while the intelligence community continues to do its work, they should continue to do that and verify so that we are certain. I can tell you that there is a significant amount of evidence that this came from that laboratory in Wuhan.
You got called into work. What are you doing?
I work at Amazon.
Yeah?
The Prime shit? Yeah, so. Like right now I'm on the clock at work, but I'm outside walking on the street.
You're on the clock right now?
Yeah, because they don't, like, the system's like, we only take orders, and when there's no more orders, we can just do what we want. So I was getting ready to go home and go to Queens and then come back, so I left the book at my house and wanted to read it.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like an hour away, it's like a 2-hour trip, but yeah, I'm chilling right now. It's the best job I ever had in my life.
Where?
Yeah.
So are people ordering emergency supplies only, face masks, you know, vitamin C? Is it only emergency orders you guys are taking at Amazon?
Nah, I work out of the Whole Foods and just get groceries and shit like that.
Okay.
But when this first kicked off, all that shit was empty, man. The Italian aisle, no noodles, they was killing that shit, man. No pasta, nothing. That was the biggest aisle right there. It was all the Italian shit. It was always gone.
Yeah.
Every noodle else.
And also, like, the Italian people got hit by coronavirus the worst, so, you know.
Yeah, but they can cook, though, so they're good.
Yeah. But not when there's no noodles. They're a one-trick pony, those Italian people. Trust me.
Nah, ramen without noodles? Yeah, it's kind of fucked up without noodles. I didn't think about that shit. They got chicken farms. So, yeah.
They got
bad sauce and shit for food.
So we met in New Orleans. We were doing comedy out there.
How long you been outside of New Orleans for, bro?
So I left in June of 2017, and then I went to L.A. for a year, and then I came back to Jersey.
Oh, you were there for a year?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. I know when I remember when you, like, when I left, like, it was, like, 2016, but I remember seeing you on YouTube doing a set in LA before you came to
yeah,
New Orleans, I think.
Yeah.
That shit was fire. You killed it. I'm just like, who the fuck up? Because I remember motherfuckers hating for like a little minute. Like, when you were in New Orleans.
What are you talking about, Parker? Everyone loved me in New Orleans. Oh, you remember when I got banned from the Hi-Ho for 2 years? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I didn't know you got banned from the Hi-Ho. I thought it was the other joint.
That was the first one. What joint are you talking about?
You got banned from the Hi-Ho? God damn.
What joint are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Bear With Me.
12 Mile?
Trauma, yeah.
Yeah, I got banned from there. I got banned from there, too.
Damn, that's fucked up, man. I mean, I can see that you get banned from there, but damn, that's hot, fuck.
That was the first place that I got banned from.
But you were doing the same set, though, right? About the dog and shit?
I mean, look, I got a couple jokes. It's not always my roommate's dog eating my cum tissues. Look, I got some I got some things. No, I think it was just political, you know. Me and Andrew Polk, I ran. You remember Andrew Polk?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I called him a hipster one time, and he freaked out so much that he banned me from the Hi-Ho for 2 years.
God damn, that's fucked up, man. But that's how it goes, though, man, you know. You took out the wrong people, then, I mean, that's
just, So when did you move to New Orleans, and when did you move out?
I moved to New Orleans, like, 2015. I just left the water night. I was drunk with my homie. He ended up fucking up the grill we had. He got more all over the plants. I went away for 2 weeks to California to see my little cousin. Came back. The whole crowd was destroyed. So I was like, I'm out.
Yeah, you just dipped. So where were you before New Orleans?
I was in Hawaii.
Hawaii, okay. And what? Which island?
Maui. I was in Kihei.
Okay, I've been to Maui.
It was dope. It was cool. That's where I first started doing comedy at. It was shit.
Oh,
was
yeah? Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I was working at a grocery store, kind of like I'm working at a grocery store right now, which is fucking crazy, and they had an open mic down the street from my house, and like before I came to Hawaii, I was always listening to podcasts and shit, just dreaming about getting on stage, but I happened to be in West Virginia at the time, and they didn't have all that shit, you know, comedy-wise in West Virginia, so when I got to Hawaii, it was like a perfect situation for me, so.
Okay, so then, I met you in New Orleans, you were there for a year. I always liked you. I thought you were a hilarious guy. And then where did you go after New Orleans?
After New Orleans, I went to Atlanta. And I got this job down there that was, like, installing shit, like the sensors and stuff. But they would send me, like, around the United States to do the job. So, like, shit, the first job I had was the day Trump got elected. Another day he won the election, I was in Wisconsin. And, like, they would send me, like, every little place around the map, United States and shit, to just do these jobs. So I would just bounce around and just catch whatever open mics I could. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever city I was in. So I was doing that for, like, a long time, for, like, at least a year.
And then where'd you go after Atlanta? You went to Harlem or Queens?
Nah, I was trying to come to New York for a while, but I just kept coming here and, like, shit wasn't right with my money, so I couldn't stay. But I ended up going back to West Virginia for a little bit, and I didn't do any comedy there. Matter of fact, I opened up a sports book, and I just, you know, started getting back into the streets. A little bit too heavy with the gambling, so I was doing that for a long time, man. I tried to do comedy every now and then, but, you know, they had a nice little comedy scene in West Virginia, too, but I just wasn't feeling that at the time, so I was just like, man, fuck it.
Wait, so you hold on, Parker. How do you open up a sports book? What the hell are you talking about? You're like day one, like, you know what? I'm going to be a bookie now. How do you do that?
Nah, I was doing it in New Orleans. Like, the whole time you see me, when you first met me, I was doing hockey for the longest. There's nobody that you fuck with hockey in Louisiana, so, you know, there wasn't really much to talk about. So I was just, you know. Sort of everybody I knew was in the hockey that was outside the state.
So you were betting on hockey?
Yeah, so you
for a living.
No, I was working that fucking morning call for a living, but I was just doing it on the side.
Okay. And then you went straight sports gambling lifestyle in West Virginia?
Yeah. I went to West Virginia and I just posted up there. So I had a big screen TV and DirecTV, so I was just like, fuck it, man, we got to watch all this hockey and get on this book and make sure, you know, I got these games right. So that's pretty much what I did for like a minute. I want to say like a year, man. I was just doing that shit for like a short year. I had a podcast for a little minute.
And what percentage of the time are you accurately guessing the hockey team that's going to win?
Shit, 24/7, man. When I'm at work, I'm watching hockey on my phone. Like, I got to that shit deep, like. There wasn't a game I didn't fucking see for my home team. And, like, on Tuesdays when our mad teams played, I would catch that shit. And on Saturdays, I would always catch you know, all the teams. I'd be up late night watching reruns of games that was on earlier in the day or earlier through the week, you know, just on top of the shit.
Now, when you actually place money on a team, what are you looking for from that team? Are you looking at the matchup? What gives you that funny feeling that you're going to put money on it and you're definitely going to win?
It just depends on the lines, like who's starting the game off, who's reffing the game, who's the lineman for the game. That's just the most important. Actually, no. So that's not the most important. The goalie's the most important, where I like to start off. You're fucking going to be in the net. Because if you got somebody that's going to be trash in the net, you're probably not going to win that game. I mean, there's so many factors that come into it.
What about the ref?
I mean, the ref can't really fuck you over in hockey too much, because all they do, like, when you get a penalty in hockey, they just put one person in the box, and then, like, your team's down a man for, like, 2 minutes in most cases. So, like, a minor penalty. So, I mean, like, you still got a chance, you know, to save yourself. It's not like you send that motherfucker to the foul line in basketball just shooting at three points. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. So it's a little bit different in hockey. But I look for all type of factors. Like, I used to take the Blackhawks for some games, and if they were at home and they would lose like earlier in the game, like let's say like to be down like 3 points in the third period. When the third period rolls around, I'm taking mad bets on the Blackhawks because they increase your odds because they're already down and the game's about to close. But they're always a good rally team, man. Every time you need a good rally.
Oh, wow.
Jonathan Toews, they more than likely come through.
So you're right? Saying so, if the Blackhawks are down in the fourth by two goals.
Man, I only have three periods of hockey.
Now you play? So now you place your bet.
Yeah, I'll play them in the, I'll take them in the third period for like $200. You know what I mean? Cause you know shit is it. Cause the odds are like this. If I put $200 down on the team that's down to like three goals, not so much. Let's say two goals down in the third period, my odds are gonna be like for every $100 I put down, they're gonna give me like $400 or $300.
So that's like $800 or $900 if you put the two down.
Exactly. And usually, you know, they rally and come back. But it's such a hard thing to do. But if they're at home and, like, the crowd gets going, and they got, like, a huge fan base, man. So, yeah, they're always into the game. They never sit down when their team's, like, you know, on the verge of coming back or just, like, a little bit in the game. And once they get that first goal and close it up from a two, you know, deficit to a one, you get jumping up and down the team. It's a blast, man.
Now, are you okay, Parker? I don't want you to get you arrested, but have you taken action for other people?
I used to back in like when I was in New Orleans, but not so much anymore. I just do this shit for myself.
Right, and, right. So yeah. you do it all online or through an app or something? Like,
I mean, yeah, you can do it through an app. You can do it online. Like West Virginia is one of the only two states, I think, right now that could do online gambling, like through illegally and shit. I think it's West Virginia and New Jersey. That's it.
Yeah, Jersey's got it. I got some betting apps.
Yeah, I just used to use a book out of Russia. That's the first one I used to use, the DSI. And then there's another one out of Argentina I was fucked with.
So I have this. Parker, I got this joke where I say, like, oh, I was betting on endangered animal fights, and I brought a weird check to my bank. It was covered in feces and some kind of feather. And they made me fill out this foreign check form, you know? And I get all...
I'm seeing the vision right now.
I get all indignant about it. But really what I did, and that's a joke version, but really what I did was I used that Russian website, and I bet on the UFC. I bet that Junior Dos Santos was going to beat up Mark Hunt. And I just, when that matchup happened, I go, oh, there's no way. Junior Dos Santos has got this fight. So I put a bunch of money on him. I get this check back in the mail from Russia. And then, like, it was, I had to go to some credit union in the ghetto that served fried chicken in the back to get... You know, I needed a fucking legit, or like, you know, kind of a ghetto bank.
Ghetto,
yeah.
When they said fried chicken, I was like, oh, no, you over here with us.
Just in the check cashing place. They were like, do you want the check cash or fried chicken? You know what I mean? So it was one of those places. They were the only ones who accepted the check, you know.
Are you for real?
For real.
Oh, shit, I thought you were making a joke. Oh, fuck, I didn't know it was real.
No, so the joke is that I was betting on endangered animal fights. That's not real. I was betting on the UFC. So
type
I,
of it.
Yeah, and then I get this fucking Russian check, and my bank wouldn't take it. So I was like, fuck you. I closed my account, and I went to some fucking cash checking place in the ghetto, and they were like, yeah, they took it in like 2 seconds. You know?
Damn, dude. That's out here in New York or New Jersey?
No, this was in L.A., actually.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know how they do shit out in L.A., because I've never really been to Los Angeles. But that sounds pretty normal, though. Like, some shit you could do out here in Brighton Beach.
Yeah, it's just you got to get on that Russian website, dude, because they don't give a fuck. They'll let you gamble, you know?
I mean, it's totally legal. If you use Bitcoin, it's totally legal to gamble. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want. Because it's not American currency. Like, when you start gambling with actual American dollars and shit, that's when it gets tricky because gambling's illegal here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, gambling with Bitcoin's not. It's like gambling with Monopoly money. Like, only so much that motherfucker can say to you. You know what I mean? Like, you're good. So, I love it, man. But I haven't done it in a while because, you know, sports is dead right now.
Yeah, right. Well, the UFC's going to have something on Saturday that I'm looking forward to. I haven't got any sports, you know, so like the UFC, you know, I'm going to make myself some chicken wings, you know.
You can do it big, huh?
Bro, I'm doing it big, bro.
That's right.
So, do you remember someone called John Rowe?
Yeah, man, that was my dude, bro. That's the first dude I linked up with in a while doing this comedy.
Yeah, what do you remember when you first moved from Hawaii to New Orleans and you're like, man, I want to fuck with some of this comedy shit. You run into John Rowe. What happened?
Shit, I was brand new into everything. I might did like 2 shows by that time. So I went to work at this new job, a morning call in City Park. It's not there no more and shit. So my homie that I stayed with, he was like, oh, man, you doing comedy? My boy at the restaurant, at the cafe does comedy and shit, or whatever, man. Y'all got to link up, y'all got to link up. And he was, like, getting on John's last nerve at this point. When he introduced me, he was just like, ah, shit. John's cousin, fuck. Because he wasn't really fucking with me at first. But we linked up later on that night, and it was cool, man. Like, no, not that night. Like, a couple of nights after that, he brought me to the Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah.
And I met him over there at the Howlin' Wolf. Him and Kamari. And that dude that's always on Fox News, you know, that light-skinned black dude that's real big with the backwards fucking hat, like Fred Durst. He's always doing, like, conservative comedy on Fox News. On that one dude show that's a piece of shit. It's like a 2 o'clock comes on. It used to come on at 2 o'clock in the morning called Red Eye.
Okay.
That's fucked up. I know that's his name. But, yeah, I remember he was there, and I was tripping on acid by the time I got to the show and shit. So. And from there.
So yeah, you're on acid, you meet John Rowe. What did you sort of get into, like, the lifestyle of being a comedian from him?
Yeah, because he used to make me go up every night, and I didn't want to used to go up like every night because I was brand new. I was just like, oh man, like, now I said stage, so, you know, all that type of shit. But he kind of broke me to it, man, because he would always have me out like every night I could get out when I didn't have to go to work and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, I was out there shit, doing matchups with John. And then the whole crew, shit, with Kyle, you know, Kamari, Byron, shit,
Thomas Jones.
I don't know if he was in there funny, though, when I was in there. He might have been in there after, like, I don't know. But I remember when I first got in there, it was me, Kyle, Byron, Kamari. And then Gigi came in after that. DC came in after that. Fuck, I hope I'm not forgetting nobody, but I don't think I am.
And then B-Dub.
No, Paul. Paul, yeah.
Paul Joseph, B-Dub get paid.
Yeah, I remember B-Dub being in there, but yeah, maybe he was in there, man. It was, you know, shit, I can't remember, man. That shit was like 4 years ago. Goddamn. It's crazy that that nigga's been dead for 4 years, yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah, and what I, you know, he was 26. He was a month away from being 27.
Yeah, man.
A month away.
But, you know, he was drinking and, you know, he was doing it like that.
Yeah.
He had a slight alcohol problem and shit. But even when he went to L.A., I think he went cold turkey. So, sad to see him, man. But, yeah, man, that's some sad shit. But, yeah, that's the first motherfucker that put me on. Real shit, man. Put me on my first show that I got paid for, you know?
And what was that? What venue paid you?
Actually, a Calvin one that booked me, but that was a Twisted Line in Metairie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. So Kyle was showing the whole Young Funny was showing my love, man. It was a nice time, bro. I really enjoyed fucking with them niggas when I was down there in New Orleans.
Who was the headliner when you went to Twisted Line? I was a feature act there one time, and Jeff D was the headliner. Who was the headliner?
I'm pretty sure Kamari was the headliner.
Oh, okay. Kamari, cool.
Yeah. Kamari, yeah. I don't think this is nice, man. Like, it was really cool to, like, come up, you know, watching this dude perform, me very brand new, because I kind of got, you know, a taste of what's up and what's not what's up. You know what I'm saying? Like, how to do comedy is, like, the right one. So, now I'm talking, like, Hannah, my little cousin. My little cousin's doing comedy out here in New York.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, are you doing? Have you been doing shows in Brooklyn and Queens since you've been?
That's a whole other story, man. Like I live in New York now, so I'm here now, right?
Yeah.
And when I first moved here, I left West Virginia. I went to go to Louisiana for a little bit to watch the LSU game. And once the game was over, I came straight to New York with no money. I had, like, a job interview. I ain't have shit. So I was fucked up out here for a little bit, but I was waiting on a tax return to come through, so I was like, man, when I get it, I can just get a spot, and, you know, I spot my job, so I'll be all good. The tax return never came in, so, like, weeks later, man, so I was out on the street in the cold, and I ended up at the homeless shelter. But in between, you know, being here for those first 2 weeks, I was doing, like, mad shows in Brooklyn. I would go to Old Man Hustle, for the most part, and Brooklyn, like, in Williamsburg, and then I do the one in the Lower East Side when I could. And I ended up on a homeless shelter. I was in there for like 3 days. Then they put me in this hotel and shit. And I've been there for like the last 90 days. And they about to give me like free rent for like the whole year, like at the end of this week.
Oh, okay, so good, man. But you're building things up. You're working at Amazon. You're at the homeless shelter. You're building up to move into an apartment.
Yeah, man. So slowly but surely, shit's coming together.
Cool, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to move out your way. We got to talk. Like, when you get out the homeless shelter, I think, you know, maybe
that's
we can
the best way to come up in New York, dog. If you come through, do that. Come to the homeless shelter. I'm telling you, like, that's the only reason I bought that shit up, because, yeah, when I moved here, dude, I had fucking negative $240, $5 in my account, because I had cash and bad checks, because I was going through some of my shit when I was in Louisiana, right? And I found these checks in my paperwork, and I was like, oh, I'm about to cash these bitches. Whether in New York, I have some money. So I cashed them. I had the funds in my account, and I took the cash out, paid some bills, all that stuff, and then I was in the negative, like, the next 2 days. And then my plane was, like, the next day. So I was like, fuck it. I was going to see what happens. Because I was still waiting on the income tax. But when I went to the shelter, that shit was, like, I was there for, like, legit, like, 2 days. And they put you in a hotel, bro. A nice-ass hotel.
Damn. You just got the come up.
Yeah, dude. It's, like, you know, free breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All that shit. You got a curfew. That's about it. So you don't feel like a real man.
But how do you do comedy with a curfew?
Shit, I haven't, man. I've been doing, like, the early shows. And, like, I mean, you can't do it now because of the fucking virus. But when I first got here, I was doing, like, the early shows, and now I have to dip back for the 10 o'clock curfew. Because I'm living in Queens, like, right by the Met Stadium. So I would have to, you know, leave, like, an hour and a half early just to get back on time and shit. So
right.
It just was what it was. So my little cousin's coming up doing comedy and shit. So I go to shows with him, and he's pretty funny, man. He's pretty funny and nice. He's got a nice stage presence and shit. He does acting too, so he has all that stuff he can bring to the stage. And you know, I'm fucking with him. But he left New York City. He's back in Louisiana. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. got scared of the virus.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to move to Jersey City Journal Square because they got the PATH train right there, and you can, like, bomb right into New York City, no problem. But my lease is up November 1st, so I was going to go to Journal Square November 1st. And I hope that at least the coronavirus, like, takes the rent down. You know, in all the really populated areas, I hope that the rent goes way down so that, you know, if you want to live in New York City, like, you can. I mean, for 20 years, the rent has been like, you have to be a multi-millionaire to live in New York, you know?
Nah, hell nah. I'm in the hood right now. These motherfuckers is multi-millionaire.
Well, you're in Queens. I'm talking about, you know, Manhattan or Brooklyn, you know?
Oh, yeah, you gotta have some money for sure. But, I mean, like, there's ways to get around that shit, man, and, like, fucking make your money, like, You could do it. I'm telling you, man. You could do it. Like, I'll sit down and build with you, like, another time off the podcast and show you how to do it. Nothing illegal, of course. But, like,
No, but what are some Parker Barnes, like, you know, hustle techniques? Like, you know, hustle technique number one. You're living... Okay, Parker, look. Some guy moves from his farm. He was at his family farm in Kansas. Okay?
All right.
This is Joe Nobody. Okay, he lives in the Nobody Ranch in Kansas. He's going to, he's got $40 in his pocket, and he took a train that cost $12, and he finds himself all the way in, let's just say, Chicago. Now, he's in Chicago, hit the ground running. What should Joe Nobody do?
I mean, shit, I don't know, man.
Bet on the Hawks in the third quarter?
Fuck no. Dude, you're left to lose your money. I mean, he might come up, but he definitely might lose. I've lost a shitload of money fucking with the Blackhawks. If I've won, I probably like a little bit over even fucking with them. But yeah, don't do that. Don't do that, Joe. First thing you want to do is get more than $40 in your pocket. So what does Joe do? Well, what the fuck does he do? So what kind of skills does he have?
What kind of skills? He was working for his family farm, you know, but he's kind of handy with, like, he can fix a tractor. He's kind of mechanical. And now he's in Chicago, in the middle of Chicago. Go.
Shit, man. You can't do shit with that. There's no tractors and shit like that in Chicago.
What about cars? He can work on cars?
Yeah, he can work on cars and shit. He can, chop cars, all that shit. Fuck, if I was Joe, real shit, I would hopefully bought his laptop with him. And I'd download MetaTrader 4 and I'd start trading currencies. If you only got $40, you can maybe get like a $4 leverage. And that shit might be able to get him some money in his pocket. You know what I mean? Like,
so what is that website or that app? You're talking about
The Forex market.
Trade stocks.
No, currencies.
Currency. Foreign stocks exchange like, market.
Your stocks is like more like shares of business.
Right.
Currencies is just like if you go to like the Canada and you go get some money in Canada and you come back to the U.S. and you switch it on an exchange rate, depending on the value of the exchange rate, that's how much money that Canadian dollar is going to be worth when you switch it over. You know, it could be more, it could be less. But you're basically just exchanging it and making money off the value of it.
All right. So let me tell you this, Parker. As soon as this coronavirus is over, I'm going to start dating a Chinese girl. You know why? Their stock is going down. So I'm going to get the hottest Chinese girl ever, you know, right after this. I know. Well, I'll go right to a Chinese place. You know what I mean? I'll get, like, bat soup. Like, make it a double. No, it's going to be consensual. Because, look, she's been quarantined. This Chinese girl has been quarantined for a long time. You know, money's tight. Their family restaurant closed down for a couple months, you know? Like, that's the kind of girl I'm going for next, you know?
Hell yeah, man. I'm not even going for no girls right now, man. I'm just going straight for the cash and the money, man. All that shit will come later. Hopefully. But more than likely, yeah. That's what Joe had to do. Joe had to get his pockets right first, and once he gets his money right, he could be giving it straight. That's what Joe from Kansas going to Chicago should do.
Get his money right first. He should not worry about. He should not worry about girls for a while. He should just.
Unless he's gonna hold them down, you know, put them on the seat, and he could do that too, man. I mean, that's probably like the best way. But you gotta have like some kind of swag and shit to pop something like that off. You can't just, you know, like yo, take me in.
Yeah, you ever pimp girls, Parker? You ever pimp?
No, that's a full-time job being a pimp, man. I would never do no shit like that.
You know some pimps? That's,
I do. I don't fuck with them like that, but I know a couple of pimps.
and what's going on? What you can't get no girls at the hotel, you know?
Well, nah. First of all, the hotel is just like, it's basically like a shelter. It's just a hotel. It's not, you know, in a dormitory. New York is fucking crazy, man.
But you got your own room, right? You got your own room, right?
Nah, I shared a room with this kid. He goes to NYU and shit.
Oh, okay.
Got a good roommate. But yeah, man, it's, the shelter's chill though. It's just a hotel, but it's just like you got to follow up the rules of the shelter. But you get room service and all that shit. It's like a regular hotel. It's like a fucking regular hotel.
Whoa. So there's just like two beds in there?
Two beds, yeah. Two beds. Like, they got lockers that we both have and shit. It's chill. I got no complaints about that, except the curfew, but I'm about to get the fuck up out of there at the end of this week. And they're gonna put me like in some type of housing. Hopefully like in Brooklyn. Like somewhere in East New York. Some cool shit.
Damn.
You know. Every time I say East New York, motherfuckers are like, damn. Bad over there.
Hey, I'm just looking at a guy working the system, you know? You're working the system. It's working for you, you know?
Dude, you have no idea how many people call me up and ask me for fucking money, too, bro. Like, motherfuckers in my family, girls are trying to sell news and shit. They be like, yo, can I have like $100, $300? I'm like, yo, I'm in the fucking homeless shelter right now, bro. Like, why would you think this is a good idea to call somebody in a situation like this for money? Like, you really gonna get this shit? Like, it's crazy, man. But I just use that as an excuse. Like, I'm stacked up a lot of bread from being in the shelter. I've been there for like 3 months, so I'm good now.
Yeah. Is anyone asking you for like tips on foreign exchanges, like exchanging foreign currencies or anything like that?
Nah, hell no. I mean, like, actually, not one of the workers, he's from Best Buy, he does. Like, he has a Robinhood account, a full build and shit. And the other dude that works in the shelter, too, like, one of the security guards, he used to work on Wall Street and shit. So we're always building every time I go down there and I catch him talking about stuff and chopping it up. And he taught me a lot of stuff I didn't know. Like, I mean, dude, like, when it comes to stocks and shit, I would actually prefer or recommend that you don't even fuck with buying any companies or anything until you first read security analysis and then the intelligent investor and save up $10,000 to start. You only use 70% of that to actually put in buying securities and shit. Because you can get fucked real easy not knowing what you do.
Mm.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's super easy to grasp the concept if you sit down and have the time to learn on, you know, what it is you should be doing. But as far as gambling, that's a different story, man. Like, if you want to make some bets and the sports comes back, holler at me, man. Come find me on Twitter, dude. Better Luck Tomorrow. Like, BETTOR, Luck Tomorrow. And I got you.
Bettor, BETTOR. Like, I'm a better.
Yeah, Better Luck Tomorrow podcast. Better Luck Tomorrow pod. Damn, I don't even remember my Twitter. I quit fucking with it, dog. Because they split down sports, man. I should kill me. That shit killed me, bro. That shit absolutely fucking killed me. Because I knew that shit was going to happen when they were like, oh, man, the NBA is not doing it. And I'm like, fuck. Like, hockey's next. And then,
yeah.
We were the last one to go, but it was just like, no more hockey. So I was like, fuck it. I don't care no more.
What are you going to gamble on?
I know. I was getting ready to kill myself when I first heard about it. But now.
Parker, don't do that.
People take you mad serious when you say that shit. Just joking around. Oh, no, we're the health crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
People's pussy nowadays, man. We gotta, you know, we gotta get back to when people have, like, some balls and shit. You know, man, like, People are mad pussy right now, man. I'm actually kind of tired of it. I'm done.
I think that the people, I think that the people that had problems with me, you know, it's like me and you, we've moved around so much where it's like, man, I lived in LA, I'm from Jersey, I moved to New Orleans, I'm back in Jersey, you know, I've been to Germany, twice, I lost my virginity in England, you know, I've been around. And so, like, when these local people that never move, it's like their scope of the world is actually smaller. And it's, and then me making, you know, stupid pussy jokes, people are like, oh, we got to ban him from this club. We have to actively ban this person from this place. And I was always like, what in the hell are you talking about? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Nah, I mean, I don't know about, like, just people, like, vocal shit, but it's, like, everywhere, man. It's not even, like, a real thing about somebody being vocal. It's just, like, everybody's just mad soft, bro. I mean, fucking super soft to the point where you just, you don't even be around motherfuckers, man. Like, without hurting somebody's feelings, like, it's just, like, I don't even talk to a lot of niggas no more, bro. This is just, like, man, what are we gonna talk about? Pussy shit? I don't like that, man.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a face mask? Do you have your hand sanitizer? Are you staying 6 feet away from people?
I've been doing that shit before I even came here. So.
Yeah.
I got a face mask. I got, like, 2 face masks. But, I mean, this is a fucking dirty-ass city, dude. If you wasn't washing your hands and shit already, then you fucked up. But you're probably immune to this shit at the same time because it only affects certain people.
Because, yeah.
Because, I mean, this mad coronavirus, this is just, like, the 19th strain, so...
Now,
like a lot of people don't
understand this. So Parker, you know, there's been that guy. I don't know if you saw him. He's a famous guy. He's been protesting because that some people at the Amazon warehouse were getting coronavirus, and then he was supposed to just keep coming into work and handling materials that they have handled. Do you know about this guy?
I think I seen him on CNBC, but he was in, like, the warehouse. I don't work in the warehouse. I work in the Whole Foods market.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit different for me. But, like I said, dude, it's, like, the best job I had. I'm talking to you on the clock and shit. I'm not even, like, there's nothing for me to do at my job right now. So, like, this is, like, the last 3 hours I'm going to be chilling until I had to clock out.
There's no orders coming in or anything like that?
Nah, we can't even work in, like, check this out, dude. We only have to work 3 days out of the month to keep the job going. That's a mandatory thing. They said you got to work 3 days out of the month to keep your job. That's it. So you don't have to come to work if you don't want to. Shit, I didn't come to work for 3 weeks, and it's just the first day getting, like, really, really bad. I didn't come to work. I was like, man, fuck that. I'm just going to trade currencies on my house instead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So I don't know what the fuck people are tripping on when it comes to Amazon or whatever the fuck. But people are always just on some shit, always shipping on something that's not good enough, whatever the fuck, man. And then, too, again, motherfuckers are soft, so I don't know what that dude's deal is, man. I saw that shit and I was just like, that's not the situation for me. Maybe a situation different from mine, I have no idea, but I don't give a fuck, man. This is an easy-ass job. Like, you can't fool you just shopping, dude. The shifts are 4 hours, like, what the fuck are we talking about here, bro?
We're just picking out stuff for other people. It's all laid out on the shelves. God, what are you talking about?
They only letting 20 motherfuckers in the store at a time, so it's not like, you know, it's like mad people in the store. Like,
right.
Just chill, man. Like, there should be no issues, but people always find issues or something, man. You know what I mean? It's like that.
So you got the come up trading currencies?
Nah, I haven't came up off that yet, so it's about the end of the year. See, my goal is, like, to save up $12,000 by October. If I could do that, then I can go to November or December and maybe get, like, the $21,000. Just, I'm, like, purely saving up money for my job. And I'm going to take $21,000 going into 2021. I'm going to split it and take half of it and make 20%. For the next 20% of a week. So I think that breaks down to like 2.6% a day, something like that. Just trading currency. So as long as I make 20% a week for the rest of the weeks, For the rest of the year, going into 2021, I have like 100,000.
All right. Well, things are volatile now. I mean, things are volatile. How can you guarantee a steady up incline like that?
Currency market is always volatile. Yeah, they trade on sessions in the currency market. So, you know, I think there's like six. No, there's four major sessions. There's six. I'm not in front of my notes right now. I gotta get back to that. I'm just finishing up the academy right now. But fucking, they're trading the sessions, and it's not the same as the stock market. But like. Stock market's a lot different. Especially, too, I mean, you still trading, doing the trade, and you still look at the technical analysis, fundamental analysis, and all this stuff. It's kind of like the same in one respect, but it's totally different trade.
Yeah, I was trading stocks for a while, and I put like $2,500 in there, and then I took out like $1,000. Like I lost 15. But it was like right as the fucking coronavirus happened. And then I kept betting that my brother put me on this stock that was betting that the stock market would crash. So there's this one stock that like shorts the whole market. And then the Federal Reserve kept pumping out money propping up the stock market that I was betting was going to go down. And
yeah,
it's like
an ETF or something?
Now, I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Was it an ETF that was shorting?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the stock was. It was just like a stock that you buy like any other. But it was like a bear market stock that was betting that everything was going down. And so, all
right.
And then the Federal Reserve of New York started pumping all this money into all these stocks. And I started thinking like, look, if I'm betting on a boxer, and then the athletic commission starts pumping steroids into one of the boxers, between the seventh and eighth round, you're like, wait a minute. You guys are tilting the odds right now. So it's like I want to sue the government for pumping money into the stock market and saving these stocks that I was betting were going down. And they would have went down if they didn't pump this phony money in there, you know?
Man, that's a crazy analogy about the boxer and shit, man. I don't know, man. Like, if you was betting on a boxer, right? Like, in the same analogy you were talking about the stocks, if you were betting on a boxer.
Yeah.
And they start talking about the guy with steroids, the only way you would take the dude, you would take the fight is if the dude's about to take a dive from the steroids. So nobody thinks he's gonna lose. But if he takes a dive, you're good because you're going to win. But you have to have some inside knowledge on that shit. And that's usually how that situation goes.
Yeah, it's like the timing of it is a different scenario, you know?
But you can't be betting on stocks anyway. You gotta, like, have a complete analysis of why you even want to get in the trade or do that type of security anyway. And you have to know, like, this is how much money you should be getting back. You have to have everything pinpointed out precisely to see if you even want to get in the trade. And then you have to have confirmations to show you that the trade is even going to be worth it. And then once you file all of those confirmations, doesn't mean you execute your shit. I'm only telling you some shit. I just read 10 pages of this book called The Intelligent Investor. That's what it said. Like, the first 10 pages I read, I sold everything I had. And I'm starting over until I finish this fucking book. And just buy bonds for right now.
And who wrote The Intelligent Investor?
Benjamin Graham.
All right.
He's the greatest investor of all time.
Benjamin.
That's Warren Buffett's role model. But he has another book called Security Analysis, too. And I'm going to fuck with that next. After I get done with this.
Cool.
For sure. Well, this is a good ass book. You should definitely check it out. As far as the Forex market goes, like, dude, I can hook you up with that easy, bro, without some real money.
You're an inspiring guy, Parker Barnes, from the homeless shelter. You're looking at the Forex market as a way out, you know, just like all the other fucking stupid white people. They just live in a five-bedroom house.
Surprisingly, white people don't really be on this shit as much as I would have thought. I don't really see a lot of people in the academy that are white. It's weird.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, God damn. Yeah, man. I've been seeing a lot of poor white people lately, to be honest with you. It's kind of fucked up. I mean,
they lost hope in the system.
Damn, that's crazy, man. They better get your shit together, man. You gotta come on, man. What the fuck is going on, man? It got too soft, man.
I don't know. I'm going back to sports betting because at least the government isn't putting their thumb on the scale there, but you know.
Yeah, dude, you don't think motherfuckers in the government don't be having shit on sports betting? Like little underground shit. Like, hey, man, you know what? Don't win this game right here, man. You know, I got a lot of money on it. You don't think the owners of these teams like trust their refs and get $1 million? You saw the Saints fucking lose back to back. Back-to-back fucking AFC championships on bullshit calls. Back-to-back, bro.
You think the referees are involved in some kind of conspiracy?
All the time, dude. Fuck. The goddamn Tim Donaghy was fucking mobbed up. Calling games for the Mafia back in the 90s and shit. It was still in the 2000s, too. But like, come on, bro. Like, yeah, that's for real. But people do that shit. So don't fuck with the basketball. I would recommend not fucking with the football. I would just fuck with the hockey because at least you have a goddamn chance.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? If the ref makes a penalty against your team, you're only going to be down one man for 2 minutes. You might be able to not let the other team score within those 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you're playing basketball and it's your main player that's scoring all the points is fucking getting fouled at the game, and whoever they keep calling fouls on them for is getting fouled. It happens to be the nicest shoot on your team to go fucking shoot 2 free points. Stop the clock so this nigga can shoot 2 points every time he gets fouled. Repeated basis, you're gonna lose that fucking game. I watched this shit happen too many times, like back to back, over and over. So I don't fuck with basketball or football. It's some bullshit. Don't fuck with that if you're going sports.
So, can I tell you about a conspiracy? I've never talked about this on the show. Talked about this on the show. Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather, okay?
I remember seeing that fight.
And there was a 15-1 odd. So, I locked in. I put a little bit of money on Conor McGregor where I was going to win $1,500 on my $100 investment. And when I started to see the boxing match play out, Conor won the first 6 rounds, okay? But on the judges' scorecards, they gave Conor the first round, but then not the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, which he clearly won, okay? Second of all, the second thing where I think that he was cheated, because the casinos would have lost 15 times their money if Conor won. And the Irish fans came out and put $2,000 on Conor, $5,000 on Conor. These drunk Irish pieces of shit show up from Ireland to Vegas and they're throwing money down at the casinos, right? The casinos would have all lost 15 times their money, okay? The other thing is, Conor, look at the gloves. The gloves of Floyd Mayweather were thinner than the gloves of Conor McGregor. So when Conor McGregor is throwing uppercuts, his boxing glove is fat. It's the circumference is fatter. And so when Floyd would pinch his elbows together, those uppercuts wouldn't get through. But Floyd's gloves were thin. They were like 8 ounces, and Conor's were like 12 or 13 ounces. So this is my contention with that fight. I think that the gloves were fixed. We know that the judging was fixed, but the gloves are the biggest aspect, you know?
I'm going to stop you short right quick, man. I'm going to tell you how to fix this whole problem next time you ever decide to make a fucking crazy-ass bet. It was like 15-1 again. Alright, first thing you want to do, Floyd Mayweather's undefeated in that fight. So going in, he's undefeated. So more than likely, this motherfucker's not going to lose. Because he hasn't lost yet. He has no record to show that, you know, this could be the match and he's going to lose, right? So his record stands for himself that he's undefeated. That's number one. Number two is, if he's undefeated and the odds are 15-1, instead of taking a whole match, you get a whole slump sum of money, which is like very improbable that you're going to win that. Got to take each round single-handedly. So every round, you put down some money on the round. And look, you're gonna get close to the same amount of odds. You're gonna get a plus something for somebody fighting somebody that's undefeated each round. So if you take each round after the round loose, after you win that round, you win some money. You see what I'm saying?
So you're saying like live action betting and not don't take the overall.
Fuck no, because you don't, dude. I don't even take overall for hockey games. I do that shit by periods because I mean you don't know who's gonna fucking win. It's a game. You know what I mean? Like you know who's supposed to win or who could win. But I mean, like if you have somebody like you said in a conspiracy to have one guy win over the next guy. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna. That shit's already locked in. The person, you know, whoever has the shit sold up on whoever they want to win on the conspiracy, they're going to win that game, you know, either way, regardless. But if you play it, you know, period by period or round by round, you know, quarter by quarter, you're in a better position, you know, to win your money.
Now, so
all right,
if you were going to hire a lawyer, let's say Parker, you know, he's got like $30,000 or, you know, later in his life, he has to retire and a bunch of lawyers come to him and say, listen, we want to do a class action lawsuit against basketball because we think that a lot of these bets have been bunk because the powers that own the basketball teams have conspired to have certain players win and or certain teams win and certain teams lose. Where should we focus our investigation? What year? What game? What, you know, what do you think is evidence that the National Basketball Association is rigged?
I mean, just on the calls and shit, man. Taking people out the game, just shit like that. No.
Hold on. Year.
Oh, you mean like the whole thing? You can't prove that shit. How you gonna prove that?
In court, what year were the referees egregiously trying to pull out one player to affect the?
Okay, 2016. When they pulled out Draymond Green against LeBron James in that 7-game series. When fucking LeBron James put his nuts all on his fucking head and shit when he was on the ground, and Draymond Green got up and started fucking on LeBron, and the ref was like, nah, you gotta leave the game. And then they suspended the motherfucker for 2 more games.
He even misses after he objected to James stepping over him. The conversation continued, the bumping and shoving, and there the double foul call by Danny Crawford. Double foul does not result in any free throws. Obviously, each player picks up a personal.
2 more games, bro.
Yeah. So the 2017 NBA championship was rigged.
I think that was 2015. That shit was like 16. I think. I can't remember. That shit was a long time ago. Yeah, 16 or 15. Whatever the Cavs won.
But you said you don't fuck with basketball. Because of that.
Yeah, that's why. That's why, bro. That's one of the main reasons why I quit fucking with basketball, bro. When they did that shit, I was like, oh, no, this is bullshit.
So in 2015, when the Cavs won, it was because someone had LeBron. LeBron James was destined for greatness in the back office.
Nah, it's just like, man, there was a 7-game series, right? I think this was 2016, too. A 7-game series, fucking. Who was in there? Golden State versus the Cavaliers. So Golden State goes up 3 games. I think the Cavs won 1 game. Right? So that game they won, they got to play again because they came back fucking 3 games. Because Draymond Green wasn't in the game. So, I mean, when you take one of your main players out, that fucks up all the plans you have going into the next game. You got to twist everything. You can't catch up quick enough. Plus, on the other side, on the other team is the greatest player in the motherfucking league. So of course you're gonna start winning games. They match it up in the 7th game. They match it up, bro, and the Cavs pull out a victory. I lost like shit. It wasn't that much money because I was just starting out this. It was like $200. I think I lost on that. Some bullshit though, dude. Some shit that shouldn't happen in the first place. You feel me?
Yeah.
All because a ref decided to be like, oh, he can't play for 2 more games because he's suspended for like 2 games. Then punch this motherfucker, then spin on him, didn't do none of that shit. Just got in this place. It's like, yo, for putting your nuts on my head when you stepping the fuck over me. And I get you suspended for 2 games? That loses you a championship?
That's disrespectful. Yeah, if someone put their nuts in my face, I would probably get in their face and tell them, stop putting your nuts in my face, dude.
I mean, this shit was so fucking whack, man. So ever since then, I just put up on basketball. But you can't really do that in hockey, man. Like, you know, it's so hard to rig a game. It's an easy motherfucking game to rig basketball.
And also, like, in hockey, everyone's got so much gear on. It's like, if you try to put your nuts in my face when I got this much gear on, you know.
I don't think hockey, you can't really do all that shit on the ice, though. I feel like the game's so fast. You're not really, you know, motherfuckers are just trying to win in hockey, man. everybody's trying to win in every sport, but them motherfuckers are trying to win for real. Like, you only get so much time to be out on the ice before you gotta go back to your bench anyway. So there's little 4 or 5 minute shifts that you're in. You're playing them shifts to the death. Skating as fast as you can. Back to back. So there's never real time to get into some little bullshit like that. You know what I mean? Because any little mistake you make, if you're a defenseman, any little mistake you make, or look away from the puck, or you puck watching, or whatever the fuck you're doing, you're not staying on your task. The other team's going to score, and you're looking like an asshole. Because you weren't paying attention and shit.
It's the sweet science. It's a pure game. At least you get a fair bet. All right, Parker Barnes.
It's fucking fair, man. It's just fair.
Well, I love you, my friend. You're a nice dude. You know.
Yeah, link up soon, bro. Like, you said you stay in Jersey, not in Jersey City?
No, I'm in Jersey now, but I'm moving to Jersey City soon, and I'll be in New York a lot in 2021, so we should link up and do some shows together, you know?
Hell yeah, Paul's out here and shit, so yeah, let's do that, man.
Well, Paul Joseph is out in New York City?
Yeah, he lives out here, he stays in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Oh, I gotta see that guy.
Yeah, so...
All right, bud. Well, good to talk to you. And that's it.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, get back to work, man. You're an emergency worker. What are you doing? Slacking outside, cocksucker.
All right,
later, bud. This has been another episode of Highway Diary in the Bag with my guest Parker Barnes, slacking off from Amazon. Unbelievable. But, hey. When I need a man on the street to tell you some inside hood shit, I call some Parker Barnes. This has been episode 2-something-something of Highway Diary with my guest Parker Barnes. Later!